Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ, a podcast about everyday life from the spiritual, the physical, and the metaphysical perspective. Each week, I'll bring you episodes that have a casual, laid-back, informal, and spontaneous look at this thing we call life. I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston. Now let's get started. And hello, my friends. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ. That's me. And today I have a new friend, Stephen the Medium. Welcome, Stephen.
Oh, Sunny, it's so great to be here. Really, I'm so excited.
I'm excited too. I can hear your accent. So is it, I think maybe Boston or somewhere on the East Coast. I don't know. Where is it?
Yeah, well, it's I'm from Rhode Island, but we talk really like New Yorkers. Ah, that's the accent. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's, see, now we can really pull it out. That's great. All right. So for my friends that are watching right now, come on in, say hello. Let us know that you are with us, you're hearing us and seeing us. Awesome. There's lots of friends that are watching. So, Stephen, I'm going to start by introducing you to everybody because not everybody knows about you. So I want to share your bio so they get a little information, and then we're going to just off the cuff dig in, okay?
Good.
All right. So Stephen is a medium, an attorney, a radio host, and a teacher. That's a combination right there, right? He's had his own law practice representing children since 2002. He had no idea he was a medium until 10 years ago when a medium told him, "You are psychic and you don't know it." Stephen has been profiled in Hollywood Monthly, the Boston Globe newspaper, and he was the first attorney medium to be featured in the prestigious Massachusetts Lawyer Weekly publication. He has appeared across the country at the Ruth Eckerd Hall in Clearwater, Florida, and on television appearances, including Great Day Live in Tampa, Florida, where he did a live reading for host Michael Clayton, a former NFL player. His motto is, start dating your energy. Awesome, Stephen. Welcome, my friend.
Oh, thank you. I'm listening thinking, who's that? That's me.
Yeah, that is how it feels. A lot of times I'm like, all right, already, come on. Like, I don't want to hear any more about myself. I know, I get it. So start dating your energy. I thought that was an interesting quote. So tell me what that means to you, Stephen.
Well, you know, Sunny, I would have never come up really with that quote or even thought about that quote if it wasn't for the experience with spirit, with when I'm doing readings, bringing spirit in. Because over and over again, what I've really gathered from them, and I did my first formal reading, it was the end of 2014. So it's not been long at all. But as I started getting more comfortable with people I was reading and their loved ones, they just kept telling me, you know, talking about the theme of this is over in an instant. You know, I think the normal what you may think you would hear to break through the fears, don't limit yourself. But one of the really wild things that I just got over, really, Sunny, over the past year was spirit really started tuning into people's energy. And every time they would give me something to say to the person I was reading for a validation, it was always connected with some energy word and just kept sort of making me feel that energy is so universal and that you can touch a tree, you know, anywhere outside your apartment in the woods, and you're touching the energy of the forest in Asia or Africa. It's just the energy is in a split second. You're just there. And I'll tell you a very quick story about the energy, which was wild. During COVID, I have a husband that we're going on 28 years.
Awesome. Just for you. My husband and I are going on 28 years also.
See that? Mm-hmm. Something in common.
Yeah.
And because of COVID at the beginning stages, March or April, we weren't going anywhere, obviously. Nobody was. And Elix has a very good friend who was doing a yoga class. I had never done yoga. I don't know why. I just never had done it. So we did a yoga class. We set up on the big screen TV. There's probably about 25 people. And at the end of the yoga class, towards the end, the teacher said, now I want you to breathe in and I want you to all focus your energy on what's going on. I want all of us to send this pure, happy energy to sort of defeat COVID. And when we all did that, Sonny, it was the wildest thing. I actually saw the energy coming from these 25 people, and I sort of was sitting on the wave of it and just shot through the world. In a second, I was over Italy, I was over Greece. I could actually see this energy, and then it circled right around. It did a 360, and I came back. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the yoga class, of course, I texted him, the instructor, who I knew from my husband. And I said, I have never, ever seen anything like it, which really just kind of reiterated to me that if 25 people that are just told to focus on their energy has that much power, how powerful is energy? How powerful is the energy that surrounds each one of us? And that if you're in a place of being very negative, how does that affect you? How does that affect your life? And vice versa, if you're very positive, how does that affect you? It was remarkable, Sonny. It just was remarkable.
Well, it's fun sometimes to get the visuals to the things that we are doing. And when you can see from a little bit different perspective than a lot of people, not because you can't learn how to see that way, but because most people just don't.
Right.
And it helps to validate how energy flows.
Exactly.
And it's such an important thing. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, I think maybe some of you might remember, maybe about 10 days ago or so, one of the things I suggested on one of my off the cuffs is that we needed to start doing more work in sending energy out into the planet. So I actually had them visualize and said, join me at 8 a.m. every morning Pacific time, not in person, but just in your own field, and start seeing that energy rippling between, because we can make a difference. And energy, it may not be able to be created or destroyed, but it does change form, and we can transmute some of this fear, anger, resentment, pain into health, wellness, joy, love.
Exactly. Yes. And if everybody could see what I saw, I think their perspectives would be completely different in a good way, in a very good way. Just what you said, Sonny.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So the question I'm sure everybody wants to know is, okay, so you're just living kind of a normal life, and you're being an attorney, and it sounds like you worked with children and the elderly, so the two populations that don't necessarily always have voices for themselves, right?
Exactly.
So you're doing your work, and you're living your life, and you got your hunky husband on the side, and then all of a sudden, I'm a medium now. So what was the process like for you? Because I do think it's interesting for people, because I've been working in this field for 20 years and studying it and having experiences for over 35 years. So I kind of started at a young age. So for people that are, I see a lot of clients like, I just want to learn how to develop my skills, but they don't necessarily believe that they can. And so you started this later in life. It wasn't something you said, I want to be this. It was something that kind of came in. So tell us a little bit about your story and how that happened, Stephen.
Sonny, and I love how you just brought that up, is that I love telling this story because there's so many people that come to me that want to connect. They want to increase, you know, their gifts and just that connection and seeing signs. And I love this because a lot of people think that you have to have had this and known about it since you were a little person, like a little boy or a little girl, and that's not the case. So I'm going through my regular life and being an attorney. 2010, Elix, my husband and I go to a medium, and it was a venue of about 100 people, and I was praying that my dad would come through because I lost my dad at 8 years old. And I gotta be honest, there were maybe a couple of times, a handful of times, Sonny, as I was growing up, that I knew I was getting signs from my dad, but it was nothing crazy. And then it would be a couple of years before I got anything else. And it was not a big deal, but it was just enough that I knew that my dad was around. So I was praying, please, dad, come through. So she starts, the medium starts the venue and comes right up to me, looks at me and says, what's your name? And I said, Stephen. And of course, my heart dropped. I'm like, my dad. I'm the first. Like, it's my dad. And she stares at me for a second and says, you're a psychic, you're a medium, and you don't know it. And Sunny, she turned around, she walked away, and she never came back. I'm like, what happened to my reading? Like, I never got a reading. And I waited towards the end of the it was like a 2-hour event. And Elix said to me, maybe 10, 15 minutes into after she talked to me, did you hear what she said? And I said, she had to be referring to the person behind me, because she's not, I'm clearly not a psychic, I'm not a medium. So I waited till the end of the event, but there were people that bombarded her. So we just left. That night I didn't sleep. The next morning I went to her website and I sent her an email, and she responded, Sunny, immediately, and said to me, Stephen, I am so sorry I did that to you. I wanted to talk to you about it. And she just said she would help me in any way. But as much as that was great and she's so sweet, I still was left what does that mean? Like, what do I do with this?
Yeah.
And a couple of years later, it took about 2012, the anxiety and these weird things that were happening, it was almost like, Sunny, that once Spirit knew I knew, they're like, yeah, he knows, so let's just go to him. Mm-hmm. But I had no skills. I didn't know what to do with it. So I had this energy running through me. And there were times I wanted to, you know, Elix was driving, I wanted to jump out of the car because I didn't know what to do with it. And Elix, thankfully, the end of 2012, he bought me a 16-week home study to become a medium course. Mm-hmm. Sonny, I didn't know the verbiage. I didn't know what anything meant. So I flew through it. And it just has been on the fast track since. And it's just the first reading, I backed into the garage door as I was backing out before the entire door was up. And I blame the door. I blame Spirit. I blame someone, not me. And I had to have a guy come in to fix it. And Sonny, this guy was like 6'4". Like, his arms were like as big as my head. And he was very nice. He fixed it. And he's getting ready to leave. I asked him how much it was. I ran up to get a check, to give him a check. And I hear this person saying, this is his mother. And all I heard was, I'm an A name. And I went downstairs and I thought, this guy is going to either pound me out or just look at me and say, you're crazy. Uh-huh. And I said to him, you know, I have a weird question, but I said, is your mother passed? And he said, yes. And I said, and I asked him about the A name, and he just kind of shook his head. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm sorry. I just wanted to ask you. I walked away and I turned right back around. It was so powerful. And I said, your mother's name doesn't begin with an A. And he said, yes, Agnes. He said, but she's been gone for like 30 years. And I said, she just wants to say she's with you. And that's how it started, Sonny. Just started building and building, and I just haven't been able to keep up with it. Really, it's been crazy. It's been a crazy road. From
and that is how it works for a lot of people. Is it's not always, you know, later in life, but certainly it starts out as a, you know, okay, I don't know, there's this weird thing going on, and so then you just kind of put the seeds out a little bit because, you know, you don't want to get pounded by some guy, or you don't want somebody to think you're nuts or what have you, and then eventually you start to see the changes and you start to see how much healing happens with short, sweet, small little messages. Oftentimes it isn't, you know, the details of where's the will, you know, it's not those kinds of things. It's, hey, I'm with you and I love you and thank you. And you know, you're doing a great job, or there's a baby coming, or like, it's not always as big as we think it's supposed to be. A lot of us have these ideas. It's more of just subtle messages that we can learn how to listen to ourselves. But for those of you that are watching, you know, you're saying, oh, I love it. That was a really cool question, a really cool way of finding, you know, discovering that. Well, here's the thing. And I tend to think a little differently than you, and maybe you or than most people, maybe you agree with me or not. I believe that everybody has the ability to be a medium. I don't believe that everybody is a medium for everybody else, but I do believe that we as spirit beings in these human bodies, if we have had a connection, a heart connection with someone, we are actually the very best medium for them. Now, we might not know how to communicate it. We might not know how to interpret it or understand it. But we, if you had a heart connection with someone, you're the very best medium to that person. So then your job is to learn how to connect with the spirit world, how to understand the messages. And sometimes it's to go through somebody like you, Stephen, or me, that can help kind of help you to understand what it is that's coming through. And so it doesn't mean that you may be a medium for the person next door, but certainly if you have a heart connection, your loved one's already there and they're already sharing messages. You're just either not in a high enough vibration to receive them a lot of times because of grief, or you're not present.
I think I just may be a male Sonny. That's what I think. Seriously, because I just did my first newsletter, which I was so proud of. And Sonny, the newsletter, that was the theme, is that when we get signs, if I used a hawk, and if a hawk just lands on the deck where you're sitting, and I said, you know, what most people do is they go online and they'll type in, what does a hawk mean when you see a hawk? And my whole newsletter was about, you know, that's a nice baseline, but don't do that. What you need to do is you need to start asking yourself questions. Did you just have a birthday? Was it your mom's anniversary? Like all these questions, because this message is specific to you. Right. You're the best person to interpret it, and you have the ability to interpret it. So what you just said was really the theme of my newsletter. I don't know, maybe you're stalking me and you're just No, but seriously, honestly, it's the same thing. It was the same thing.
Well, and I think people see, so I've been teaching about communicating with it. So somebody asked me, Sonny, are you a medium? Yes, I am a medium. And I have been I started having experiences when I was 13. But I've been doing it professionally I've been doing readings and psychic work for about 20 years, but I started doing mediumship about 17 years because I actually went into mediumship kicking and screaming. I did not want to be a medium. I love doing readings. I like doing angel readings. I liked giving people understanding and connecting with their angels and their guides. But I did not want to talk to dead people because I'm a feeler. And what would happen for me is when I was connecting with somebody that had passed, oftentimes I felt how they died in my body. And then death was sad. So it's sad. And I'm an empath. So I would feel the pain. So I just kept telling spirit, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. So when I would have these people, I'd be doing readings and these people would come in, I would just ignore them. And I'd be like, nope, not talking to you. I am not doing this. So I'm just telling you guys, if anybody wants to know, if you're meant to do this work, you're going to freaking do this work because spirit always wins. They always win. There's no question. It always happens that way. And I think for me, it was a little boy who had died at 4 years old and actually was murdered. And that came through, and he would not let me not share his message with his dad. And that is what completely changed my path. And I said, oh my God, how do I not support this child in sharing this? How can I not? And actually my very difficult, my angels that have had a difficult road with me actually said, what right do you have not to share your gift? I was like, oh my God, seriously.
Yeah. I like to hear the answer to that, Sonny.
Well, the answer was, I guess I'll start doing this, but please be gentle with, like, that really was my process. It was very difficult. So when you have done these, started doing mediumship and you have some of these experiences and you recognize that there are people that are like, you know, they're getting the signs, they're getting the messages, but they're not putting the two together, so to speak, because I read that you have started to teach and you're helping people to not only give messages to them, but also helping them to understand the messages. What do you think is the most important thing? And I'll share what I think it is afterwards, but what do you think is the most important thing in learning? Because you've done this more recently,
right?
Learning how to open up and connect with the spirit world and connect with your loved ones.
You know, Sonny, I think when I teach, I think that's the million-dollar question. What I do tell people is that it's a little change of the brain, I think. But that little change can be sometimes very difficult. The brain can be very, very stubborn. And I always tell people when I teach this class, or the last class I taught, was that you have to start small. You have to really start small in reference to, if you're sitting, you know, in a room and something falls off the shelf, just using as an example. You know, so many times the left side of the brain wants to jump in and say, that wasn't spirit, that was the wind, that was the draft or a draft. And I tell people, just using that example, I said, you really have to stick in the right side of your brain and really for that second, take that example and envision that who do you want to hear from in spirit? Say it's your mom. Just envision that your mom said, you know what, I'm in the room with my daughter and my son, whoever it is, and I want to get their attention. And envision your mother in your third eye just doing this and hitting it and knocking it off. And then acknowledging that it really was a sign and thanking your mom. I always tell people the acknowledging is, I think, key from what I've learned so far, and that it just somehow works with your brain to be able to see the next sign and also to be observant. This is, you know, as you know, Sunny, this is the hardest time to be observant because of technology. We're all in technology, and I understand that we, you know, many of us have to, but it's just being present. And I tell people, just observe. If you've lived in the same house for 20 years and there's a rose bush right on the side of your driveway, pick a day to go up the driveway, stop, and just notice it. Mm-hmm. Don't just go by it. Notice it. Stay present. I think the present piece, anyway, for me, is such a key way to get these signs and to be more. The signs are always there, right? I mean, I believe everyone's getting signs, mm-hmm. but the key is to see those signs. And I think being present is one of the greatest things.
Yeah. And that's actually mine. So that's very good. Good job. That was exactly it. It's presence, guys. You can have messages coming left and right. They can be all around you. And if you are distracted, if you're trying to figure things out, if you're worried, if you're in fear, number one, your vibration is lower. When your vibration is lower, it's harder to even connect with the things that are actually happening around you energetically. So if you're a feeler, you wouldn't even notice the presence feeling-wise of your loved ones because your energy is too dense. So that would be really important, but presence of energy, presence visually, presence mm-hmm. auditorily, cognizantly, you have to be present because spirit speaks in present moment. Spirit doesn't ever speak in the past, doesn't ever speak in the future. Those two places do not exist, only in present moment. So if you want it, because a lot of you are saying, oh my gosh, that makes me feel so much better. I'm so glad to know I can connect. If you're wanting to connect, that's the answer. You just heard it from both of us and he didn't know that's what I was thinking. But it is absolutely, without a doubt, presence.
I must be a medium.
You must be. You must be. Yeah, you got to be present, guys. Like the example I always use is like if we're hanging out, let's say in my office right now, and there's 10 people in the office and 5 people are present and 5 people aren't present. And all of a sudden a butterfly flies in and it flies around for 30 seconds and then it flies out. The people that are present are going to have had a life-changing experience right then because they're like, oh my God, my mother, my sister, my whoever, whatever the butterfly represents to them. The people that are not present are gonna be like, what the hell are you guys all talking about? nothing even happened because you weren't even aware. So that's awesome.
Absolutely. And I can't tell you how many people will tell me examples of signs that they didn't know were signs. So it all makes sense because they're not present.
Right. So there's a gal, Donna, asks, so what do you do when you see a red cardinal? As I have heard, it's our loved ones. Is this true? What would you say to that?
I would say, you know, it's absolutely from my experience, reading people somehow, some way, and I don't know if it's just because it's nature or just because birds, like say a cardinal is beautiful, but spirit will give that as a very, very big sign for me to share to people. But I always say that it's not always birds or wings. I did a reading yesterday and the grandfather said he's all about coins. He drops coins. But to answer the question for Donna is that so many times spirit will say, like mom, grandmother, grandfather will say anything with feathers. I'll use blue jays or crows or hawks or butterflies or dragonflies. Anything that connects with wings, I can manipulate to give you a sign. And I also, it's part of what we talked about too, Sonny, was that I think when you walk outside and you see that cardinal, if you stick in the present, you don't even have to ask that because you'll feel it, you'll know it. You'll say, that's mom, that's dad, that's grandmother, that's a sign for me, specific, just for me, not for anybody else.
Right.
And so there's no question that that's a sign, no question.
And it doesn't always mean that it's a sign for every single person. Like a red cardinal to me wouldn't mean anything to me. I live in Phoenix. I don't even know if we have red cardinals here, honestly. So that wouldn't necessarily be a sign to me. So it's also, signs are individual to the different people. And a lot of times it's through the personality of the person that you're connecting with. So for example, when my grandmother first passed, and my grandmother and I was close to her, she was an alcoholic all of her life until she got Alzheimer's. And when she got Alzheimer's, she forgot that she drank.
Wow.
So for three or four years, I think she didn't drink alcohol, and she was a whole different person. And we had some really blessed times because she was. But when she passed over, and I connected with her like on day three, because she actually passed in a very, she froze to death. Actually, she walked out of her care facility, years ago and froze to death. And so she had a very traumatic, ending to her life, which was a difficult life anyway. And so when I was talking to her and I was saying, okay, grandma, you know, why did you have to go alone? I was asking her all these questions, and I smelled Coors beer. And I'm like, seriously, grandma, you have to bring Coors beer. And that's a sign. That's my sign. That's how I know it's her versus another person. And so a lot of times people will say, well, it has to be these beautiful, lovely, it's ways that they connect with you that you'll know it's them. So it might've been the smell of their tobacco, and it's a particular kind. It might've been, you know, the kind of cologne they wore. It might've been the chew that they don't have judgment on if it's a positive thing or not positive thing. It's just, okay, this is a way that you'll understand and connect right. with me.
Absolutely. No, yeah. Absolutely. And I love that. I love that how, and that was part of the newsletter, how it's so individual for each person. Yes. The sign is for the person, and it's our job to figure them out, because yes. they're there every day.
Yeah.
So, which is incredible.
Yeah. Like, where else would they be? Hello.
Exactly.
They still have a heart connection. They're still spiritually connected. So just because they drop their body, guys, remember, if any of you have ever seen a dead body, there is no spirit in that body. They're not in the body. And I think I actually read something in your longer bio that said that one of the things that you recognized when you were young, even though you might not have known that you were a medium, was that your parent or your mother and your brother would go to the cemetery.
Exactly.
Without
having any clue that I was a medium or anything was going on, there was just something that always made me feel that my dad's spirit, my dad's soul, his energy, his essence was not at the cemetery. And at some point when I was old enough, I told my mother, I don't want to go. And she just, you know, she was very open, and she believed in spirit. And you know, she asked me why, and I told her. My brother, on the other hand, didn't take it as nicely. He was just very upset, thinking I was being very disrespectful. And I tell people all the time, everybody, you know, there's a lot of people that they get the most peace from going to the cemetery to seeing the headstones or where someone is buried. And I think you've got to do what feels right. For me, it just felt like, I remember telling my mom, I was probably about 16 or 17, Ma, if I want to talk to daddy, he's right here. I don't need to go to the cemetery. He's not there. And without obviously knowing I was a medium, it was just one of those things, Sonny, that I was tuning into, because my dad was with me, so, which was pretty wild.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Okay, so because mediumship kind of came in a later time for you and in a different form, you know, a lot of people, they have somebody die, and then they want to connect with them, and then they start calling that energy in, and they start having experiences, and that kind of opens them up. Or they have a trauma, and then that opens them up, even if they're at an older age. Well, for you, it was somebody said, hey, by the way, you've got this, check into it. So tell me how life is different now. So 10 years later, and you're still an attorney, right? You're still working as an attorney?
Yeah, I mean, very limited because still because of COVID, and mostly I represent kids, and there's really not much going on. But yes, so I still am an attorney and represent kids as well as doing this the mediumship piece. But it's done a 180, and that's what I love sharing the story, Sunny, to everybody, is that, you know, it's not even been 10 years. If you really told me I would be doing this, or I was a medium, I look at you like, I don't, it's not me. You can't be talking about me. And it's completely changed. It's hard to explain. I will say that when you talked about, you see what the readings do to heal people. And I've had healing through spirit, through my dad, just more recently. And it's changed the filters, the way I look at life. It's changed my perspective since this mediumship piece opened. I constantly am reminded that life is so short, to be so grateful to what you have. I understand when something tragic happens with somebody and you see it, and for a period of time, it sticks with you. You're so grateful. But for so many people, it's sort of, you know, it dissipates. It kind of like eases away. We get back to life and, you know, we get frustrated. We just get whatever's happening in our life. For me as a medium, it's pretty much, you know, I do readings not every day, but almost every day. And I get that reminder how grateful we should all be, whatever we have. So that perspective just now is sort of cemented in me, and it's I know it sounds corny, but it makes me feel like I just want to keep sharing that. I want to keep telling people, like, I want to just grab someone on the, you know, I'm walking by and saying, you know, I can feel your fear, let it go. And like spirit tells me all the time, in a fleeting moment, we're not here, and we're here for a reason. We're here to learn, we're here to follow our path, to be passionate, and the fear will stop that. Many things will stop it, but it's sort of like I just want to shake someone and say, I see these gifts all around you that are not open. You know, that's a sign that spirit gives me. And when I see that, it just means that something's holding someone back, and they've got these gifts that God or whatever your higher power is has given to you. And each one of us has a different gift, but so many people in spirit people in spirit or people that have crossed in spirit have said to me many, many times, Sunny, in readings, that I don't want the same thing to happen to my granddaughter that you're reading that happened to me, that I didn't see my gifts until I got into spirit and got to see my life and just sort of looked down and said, what the heck did I do? Why did I follow this? Why did I have these beautiful gifts that for some reason they were always right next to me and I never opened? And every single one of us has that. Everyone.
And so
it's completely, my life is completely different. And one of the things I try to remember daily when I wake up is do not sweat the small stuff. I used to do it all the time. I used to get irritated, you know, if, you know, Elix came downstairs and, you know, didn't put the coffee container back all the way in. Yeah, like stupid stuff, like sort of personalizing it. Like, I don't like that, but you still do it. Stupid, dumb stuff. And now it's completely different. It's just, I don't sweat the small stuff, and it is such a better life. It is. You know, you don't have all that energy just, you know, taking up space. You know, for even a coffee pot would be 30 minutes, an hour, that it would stick with me. I would be irritated. I'd be texting him like, you did it again. And all that, I mean, it sounds so ridiculous when I say it, but we all do it. I was definitely doing a lot of it. So it's completely changed. And I just feel like the most fortunate person. I think, not that I want this to happen, but if I walk outside and, you know, a plane comes and just lands on me, or a house, I would say like Wizard of Oz, like a witch, and I'm done, I would right now be so satisfied. I mean, I have a lot more to do, but just based on experiencing this and seeing what our loved ones in spirit have showed me how to live, I just feel like in a really good place.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that what I'm hearing you say, and I think this is how it was for me too when I first started, was and it still is that it's such an honor to serve in ways that, you know, a message from a spouse who just passed, or a son who has died, or a sister, what have you, that can literally change the life of the person that's living, that can bring them peace, that can help them to see the signs so that they know that they're still there. Like, it's such an honor. And what I feel like it reminds me of is it keeps me in a place of number one, always staying present because number one, it's part of my job. But the other thing is, it's because it's part of my job, and my job never ends. So it's incorporated into my life, which gives me more appreciation of life, I think. And number two, being of service in the way that we are, I believe that we teach what we need to learn. And so certainly for me, I needed to learn presence, and I needed to learn compassion, and I needed to learn self-love. And these are the things that the spirit world, as much as we're like, well, they don't have a body anymore, what do they care? They're always talking about loving yourself and taking care of you, and don't miss this chance, and go out and get it, and don't worry what people think, and, you know, just love yourself. And so I think that experience for me anyway has been, I feel very humbled and honored to serve in the way that spirit has set up. And thank God that my ego wasn't too big, that I listened eventually and didn't be like, screw this, this is scary, I don't want to do it, right? So, because it's,
you know, I was going to say, Sunny, the intensity that you just spoke, and just the emotions that you just spoke, I mean, clearly what you just said was so passionate for you. And I think, I know every single person has that, but just in a different context. So every single person, what you just gave me and the energy I was feeling, and that amazing, positive, you know, just intentional energy, every one of us has. It's just the cover of the book is different. That's what it's about.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Right. We got a couple questions people are asking, so let's see what your answers are. Do you think people with type A personality are more aware and present?
Well, you know, that's a really good question, because, you know, Elix is a type A, but then I have like really good friends that are completely opposite, and me completely opposite from type A. But I think sort of type A gives you that sort of jump, that upper hand because of it. However, I don't think, regardless of what kind of personality you have, I think it falls back to you, Sunny, what you said, is that if you're not present, it's just not gonna happen. It's not gonna fall into, you're always gonna have pieces of the puzzle that are missing unless you're present. And then when all those pieces fall in is when everything opens up and you get to connect with your loved ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's so type A, I'm not very good at categorization. I really try to get rid of labels, but isn't type A kind of the organized and controlled aspect of things? Isn't that how type A's are? So my intuition would say that it's actually probably harder for type A's, because they want to control everything. And when you want to control and be so organized, then you miss the things that are sitting right in front of you, because you're so focused on what you've got to get done, or where you got to go, or what you've got to do. And with that being said, that doesn't mean that it's easier for the others either, because it always is going to come down to presence. And that's something that is separate from personality. That's actually more of an energetic spiritual thing.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank next you. Question is, lately I've noticed head pain across my forehead, throbbing where my third eye is, hearing sensitivity, even light sensitivity. Was your physical body affected as your connection grew? Good question, Kristen. So was it for you, Stephen?
Yes, Kristen, that is such a great question. And, you know, I always, you know, would put the caveat that I think you should, you know, if it's necessary, if you feel you should see a doctor, but that absolutely happened. And mine was also like what Kristen just said. At first it was in the front, and then it was in the back, and it kind of rotated. And for the most part, those sort of feelings were in my head, in my ear. I kept getting very like a second of buzzing. I would just, it almost felt like a fly, and I kept whacking myself thinking a fly was in my ear, and it wasn't. It was like sort of like I was sort of tuning in. But Kristen, I experienced the same thing, same exact thing.
Yeah, and a lot of times people, so I've done a lot of teaching, helping people develop their intuition. And oftentimes as you start to raise your vibration, there's pressure changes, literally. And so you'll kind of have your ears pop in and out. Sometimes you'll hear a ringing, and it doesn't usually last. Now, if it's lasting, doesn't end, doesn't stop at some point, then go and get yourself checked out just to be checked out. But usually that's a sign that your vibration is shifting, your energy is raising, you're starting to connect more with the spirit world. It happens the same with eyes, with vision changing. Again, get your eyes checked. But a lot of times, like, my eyes have gotten better over the years. And I intentionally work on that also. If you start having a lot of kind of, I always feel like when spirit's around, oftentimes one of the ways that I know that is I'm very aware of my energy and my physical body, because I'm an empath, and I've struggled so much with feeling all of the pain that for me, I'm very aware of any subtle shift in my field. And so I will feel like, I don't know if I'm aging myself here, but I always tell my age. I'm 49. So back in the early 70s, there was a Play-Doh machine that you put Play-Doh in, and you pushed the little head, and it was called the Fuzzy Pumper Set, and it made your hair grow. And so the hair, the little Play-Doh hair grew. And that's actually how it feels like my hair. It actually kind of looks that way right now. But it kind of felt like the hair would just be like, it's just, and it's growing out of my head, even though that's not. So a lot of people will feel like the hair standing up on their neck. But for me, it literally felt like my hair was just growing and growing and growing. So those are kind of signs. We all have these different ways of recognizing that spirit's around, and they will start to acclimate you to their vibration. They acclimate you to their vibration. So the more you're willing to raise your energy, then the more experiences you'll have. And don't negate any of them, because they usually mean something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What happens to a spirit who dies of an accidental overdose?
You know, that is a really good question also. I've had a lot of spirit come through that's the case. And the way they always start off with me to let me know is that they show me they're in spirit, they're in a different plane, and they just keep looking around. And I always hear them say, I'm not dead. I can't be dead. I'm not dead. It's always 100% of the time when I'm doing readings, the exact same way. It's an accidental overdose or a car accident that someone's just driving and, you know, they get hit and they're gone. It's those quick deaths that spirit always tell me that it was an adjustment, in the sense that a lot of accidental overdose. I was very surprised in the readings I've done that there were people, you know, that were using whatever the substance abuse was, and didn't mean to kill themselves. They were just getting a fix. And it's always the same way. It's that they just didn't. Where am I? I can't be here. I'm still living. And then, you know, whatever validations they're moving forward with. But that's how I always find out if it's someone, an accidental overdose, or something that's really quick.
Mm-hmm. And for me, suicide is, a lot of people question suicide. Most people don't want to ask, but a lot of people question suicide because the religious way that so many people are taught is they're going to hell, and, you know, I don't know, they got to push the rock up the mountain or something like that for the rest of eternity. And quite honestly, I've had three close suicides in my life done hundreds of clients, it's family members or friends have committed suicide. And never once has it been different. It is always, they've always shown themselves receiving more love than any other person that transitions, meaning when you think of somebody that died of suicide, we know how hard that must have been, how much struggling they were, how sad they were. And so people send even more love and they receive that love. So they always show me in their kind of like light body, receiving this energy of love constantly. And so similar to accidental overdoses or accidents or things that aren't just a, you know, an old age or something like that. They get into a place, they always call it a healing space. That's the language they use with me, of they're just receiving the love. And that is a loving place. So it isn't a judgmental, critical place like so many of us were taught, especially if you were brought up in particular religion.
That saved me, by the way, Sonny, because my dad, when I was 8, committed suicide, mm-hmm. and to, you know, years later, be able to tune in with him and mm-hmm. see that love and family around him. It's mm-hmm. just, it was just another changing of a perspective in such a great way. I was able to handle it.
Yes. Because the idea of what happens when people die of suicide is more haunting than mm-hmm. the actual death of the suicide, meaning that can stay with you your entire life. And never once, there has never, please hear me guys, 20 years of readings, never been an exception to that. Never. So
I agree.
Okay, let's see. Okay, I've been told that if a person commits suicide, they're coming right back to learn what they didn't learn. But suppose a person diagnosed with a terminal illness and then commits suicide, is that really wrong? What do you say?
That's a loaded question. You know, because of the newness of this for me, and newness in the last 5 years, I got to be honest, I am really learning about reincarnation and people coming back. I think it's so complex. And I don't know if I can really answer, Sonny. I'm sure you can probably answer that question much better than I can. But being honest, all I know is the question I have asked about people in reincarnated, that if my mom crossed and she's reincarnated, does that mean that she's not available anymore? And I have experienced that and said, absolutely not, that from what spirit assured me, it's like a tree trunk, and that the branches may be different reincarnations, but that base, that trunk, from what you remember, is always there. So that's an interesting question. I'm not sure if I have an answer for that.
I'll answer, because I think this is really important. That idea, they have to come back and learn everything that they didn't learn before, that is a man-made thought to control us into staying because we feel like that is something wrong to do. No. That, from my experience, that is not the truth, and it doesn't happen that way. And speaking of that, just because we have a couple questions about reincarnation, I'm just going to give you guys, I'm going to show you something that Spirit gave me when I was writing my book. So yeah, I've written 20 books, and one of the books that I wrote about 5 or 6 years ago is called The Love Never Ends. And reincarnation is something that's hard for a lot of people to understand. And I'm not here to prove that it exists or not. I don't actually really care what you think about if you believe in it or don't believe in it. That doesn't actually matter to me. But for those of you that are trying to understand it a bit more, this might be helpful. So let me figure out where my camera is. Okay, so I have this little chart right here. And if you see the person here, so let's just pretend this person is whoever that name is, Mark, okay? So that's who they are in this incarnation, Mark. But in all these previous incarnations, they've been all these other people. And so Mark, when he's here and he's alive in this physical form, he's known as Mark here, but let's say that somebody that was connected to him in his last lifetime wants to connect with him still. The soul, the spirit, I'm going backwards here. The soul, the spirit has the memory, the experience of all of the lifetimes put together. And so all that is contained in this circle. And so when you are connecting with Mark, and let's say Mark dies and Mark is up in spirit, and then he comes down as now a new energy, but you're the grandchild that still wants to connect with Mark, his soul, just like Stephen said, his soul is still still whole and still complete and still has all of the experiences of all the beings they've ever been. So even if they are reincarnated, and this spirit gave me this exact understanding, even if they are reincarnated, you can still connect with them because from a soul perspective, all of that energy is still there. So they can still connect and communicate, even if they're recreated again in a new form.
I love that diagram, Sunny. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, hopefully that helped because a lot of people, that's why I put it in this book, because a lot of people really struggle with understanding that. And especially if you were raised in a particular religion where there was no, reincarnation didn't exist and you're coming into a place of kind of expanding beyond some of that belief, then there is value in having a way of visualizing and understanding it that makes sense to you. So hopefully that helps. All right, Stephen, I'm going to ask you some off-the-cuff questions now, okay? So this is a part of the interview, for those of you that are new, that I do this. The reason I do off-the-cuff, I do it every weekday at 1:11 p.m. Pacific time. And I do this because I like to connect with people that are change makers. I like to learn about people. I like to see what other people are doing. And I'm a people person. So Stephen is going to share with us a few things that I don't know, maybe we do or don't know about him. I don't know anything because I've just met him, but I think he's pretty cool. And I know you guys are enjoying this as well. So the book is called The Love Never Ends, my friends, for those of you that are asking. It wasn't actually an advertisement for the book. I just wanted to share that with you, but that is the name of the book. Okay, Stephen, what is your favorite quote?
That's an easy one. You teach people how to treat you.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite quote. I actually have two. That one and don't take any crap from anybody. That was okay. that was from my grandfather.
All right. I like that. That's a good one. They're both good. But yes, we teach people how to treat us. Damn right we do. So if you don't like the way you're getting treated, then you better teach different, right?
Exactly.
Yes. Love it. Okay. Are you a reader? And if you are, what are you reading right now?
I'm not such a big reader. The last book I read was, my God, I hope I'm trying to remember the title, was Olivia Newton-John's book.
Oh. And
I can't think of the title. I'm a huge fan of hers. I've been a fan for many, many years.
Yeah.
And I think within like a day or two, I went through that. And that was the last book I read. And it was fabulous.
Yeah.
So terrific.
My mom was just telling me something about her story because I, a lot of times for Halloween, I dress up as her from Greece. I can play a pretty good Sandy. And my husband has a little dimple in his chin, so he can play a pretty good John Travolta. So I'm really fascinated. She was my first concert I ever went to. So
I love that. Listen, and I blend right in because I got the grease hair. So
there you go. See? There you go. Yeah, I'll have to check that out. Okay. What was a defining moment in your life? We know about the moment where you discovered you're a medium. What was another defining moment in your life and what did you learn?
Well, it was definitely when my dad took his life at 8 years old. It was a defining moment because even at 8 years old, I knew I was different. I'm not really sure at eight if I could like sort of understand that I was gay. I was a gay male, but you've got a dad who commits suicide and leaves an eight-year-old boy. And then you add on top of it that the eight-year-old boy is different. And then, whatever period of time afterwards, I figure out I'm gay. Mm-hmm. And just adds to sort of the beating up of me thinking, well, clearly I wasn't good enough. He didn't want a gay son. And yeah. That's why he took his life. That was a defining moment. And what I mean, it was many, many years, Sonny, of just beating myself up. And I wrote a blog, a couple of months ago about for many, many years, and really right up until now, I have always felt like I have two boys living in me. I've got the pre-death and I have the post-death. So mm-hmm. Up until 8 years old, I have that boy who is this fun-loving, beautiful boy. And then the post-eight, who is this vicious boy that just wants to know why he doesn't have parents in the other boy does, and he's antagonizing the first boy, and it has been a struggle my entire life based on that, and with a lot of therapy and just figuring this out. And I gotta be honest, also really what figured this out was spirit, when I had this very big revelation with my dad of finally putting to rest and making these two boys. I think I'll always have the two boys. I think I'll never get rid of them, but they're friendly now. So that helps me big time. So that was definitely a defining moment, which just lasted into to current time.
Sure. Of course. And it would. And it sounds like part of what maybe they've learned is compassion for each other.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And compassion. Yes, exactly. Which gives me compassion for me to give compassion to
for
others.
Sure.
You
sure.
can't do that if you're not compassionate for yourself.
And you can't actually serve. You can't be of service to. You can't be in a service industry if you don't have compassion. It's just that we've got to learn to have it for ourselves too.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That is an open and vulnerable position to be in. We like that here. We hang out in vulnerable circles right here, so that's great. What is one of the most exciting things you've ever done?
Exciting things I've ever done. So actually, one of them, honest to God, is being in the front row of Olivia Newton-John's concert, because it was her last tour before she figured out that the cancer had returned. But putting that aside, I think one of my favorite things I've ever done was to go to Brazil, because growing up, my mom had these two most beautiful trays. They're wood, but in the middle are glass, like stained glass. They're gorgeous. They're beautiful. And my mom used to always talk about when my father was in the Navy, he was in Brazil and he picked these two trays up and then ultimately gave it to her when they got married. And that always stuck with me. And my mom just passed away in February. And, you know, a couple of years ago, we were selling her house and I was looking, tearing the house apart for those two trays. I hadn't seen them in many, many years. And Sonny, honestly, if it wasn't spirit, I went to one of the bedrooms and it was like the last place I looked. I pulled a drawer under a bed and there they were. So just the connection of being in a place where my mother was loving those trays and that's where they came from, it was always been one of my favorite trips and favorite things to do and favorite places to go, so.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Great story. All right. What is your greatest quality?
My hair. Didn't you hear me a couple of minutes ago?
You do have some great hair. You
no,
do.
My yeah. greatest quality. I think, you know, that's weird to answer. But I think it's just, as you said, being a people person. You know, Elix makes comments to me that, you know, I went in one day this was a couple of years ago, to Macy's, and I was buying something in Lancome, and he was with another friend. And when I was done and walked up to him, he said, "Did you know that woman behind the counter?" And I said, "No." He said, "Why the hell did you hug her?" I'm like, "I don't know. I just connected with her. I liked her." And it was just, so I think that's the greatest quality. It's just you know, just talking to people and getting to know them, much like what you just said, Sonny.
Yeah, I get it. I'm that way too. My husband's always like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm just finding out their life story." Everybody tells me their life story.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Uh-huh. All right. What is your not so greatest quality?
Hands down, stubbornness. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Elix was here, that would be the first thing that he would say, is that being stubborn, even though with spirit, again, I have got much, much better with it. But, you know, that's now the majority of me is Polish, but the other side is Irish. And that clearly comes from the Irish side of being extremely stubborn. And I got that right from my mom. And we're two peas in a pod. She was very, very stubborn. And that's not a quality to sort of get rid of easily, right? I mean, you can get better at it, but absolutely the stubbornness.
Okay, so stubborn. We got a stubborn partial Irishman with great hair. That was an attorney and is a medium now. Yeah, got a great story, my friend. All right. So those that might want to connect with you, they can go to your website, which is easy to remember, stephenthemedium.com, right?
Yes. Everything is listed under Stephen the Medium.
Okay.
Or social media.
Perfect. All social media, Stephen the Medium. And sounds like you have a newsletter, so you can get on the email list and learn more about what he's doing. And you're probably doing some online things, and like all of us are right now.
Absolutely. I mean, I got to tell you, I was like a little boy so excited with this first newsletter. I mean, I know people send newsletters all the time, but doing it and seeing it and, you know, Lindsay, who does all my computer stuff, who is like a genius to send it out. I was like a little boy in a candy store. I was so excited.
Yeah, well, that's a big step, and just kind of taking that next step of staying consistent and getting the messages out that people want to hear, right?
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Yeah. All right, my friend. Well, thank you so very much for joining us. Thank you, all of you. I know a lot of you, I might have missed some of your questions. We had lots and lots of people asking questions, some of you wanting readings. So obviously, Stephen the Medium does readings, so you can reach out to him and get that set up if you like. I know that I think a couple of days ago, sometimes you jump online and do readings, right?
I do, yeah. I love getting on Facebook Live, and just for people that either just – you know, don't have the financial capacity to make it an appointment or try to call in my show through the static on Wednesdays. That's very difficult to get through. So I love going on Facebook Live and just telling, you know, seeing where spirit's gonna bring me. So, but before we go,
yes.
You know, you were sent something. So at some point, make sure if you haven't looked at it, the note, right?
Oh, I haven't looked at it. I saw something came, but I have not looked yet.
I sent you. Listen, that's my MO, is that I actually write notes from your loved ones. So before this even started, I tuned into you, and I have someone in spirit that wrote a note to you.
Okay.
So I sent it to Deb, who is, by the way, fantastic.
Oh, great. Yes, she is fan. I have a wonderful, wonderful team.
You don't get better than her. You don't. She was absolutely fantastic.
Awesome. Well, I know that she will be happy to hear that. And I already know that, but yes, it is very true. I have a great, great team of people behind me. So, all right, my friends. So thank you so much for joining. If you are new to Off the Cuff, I'm here every weekday at 1:11 p.m. Pacific time, interviewing amazing change makers in the world, like Stephen the Medium. Tomorrow I have Carol C.C. Miller on. She is known as the Hug Queen. She started a community called Positive Focus that's got 1.6 million people on her Facebook page. And she is a force to be reckoned with. She's an amazing, amazing soul. So come and join me tomorrow for that. Fridays, I do readings right here live. And you can register to get my email. Go to my website, which is my name, sunnydonjohnston.com/join, and get some info there. Thanks, everyone. We appreciate you being here. And thank you so much, Stephen. It was a joy to get to meet you and spend some time with you.
I loved it, Sunny. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you. See you guys. Have a good one. And hey, I love you.
Thank you so much for listening to Off the Cuff with SDJ. If you gained some knowledge, if you felt a connection, if you got some ahas or insight into this thing we call life, if you feel like you're a little more elevated than you were before you listened to this podcast, then please subscribe to this podcast. And if you're already signed up, please rate and review it. I'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to get more information about me and what I have to offer, go to my website, sunnydonjohnston.com. Thanks so much, my friend, and I hope to see you next week.